This is Reverend Joseph Caesar, and welcome to the Good News Program. I am truly blessed and honored to be called by God to be His servant to spread the good news of salvation to you all. You have done the right thing. Don't change the channel. You are not here by chance, but by divine guidance. This is Reverend Joseph Caesar coming to you again and live on BBS Radio. It's always a pleasure to come into your home to spread the good news of salvation. Good news which is fitable to hear and also fitable to print. I thank God. God has called me to be His servant. And I just want you to sit back, listen, take this in. I pray that God would manifest His Spirit into your life and lighten your head so that you'll be able to understand the message. I just feel really burdened to share this good news. And today my topic would be peace. And my lesson is taken from John chapter 14, verse 27. Before I get into that, I just want to let you know something, just something briefly. Every time you switch the television on, it's bad news. Bombs dropping, displacing, maimed or killing someone. People run from their homes and think they can get refuge somewhere else. And when they got there, they face the same predicament. And when they think that there is peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction. But I bring the best news to you today, the good news of salvation. That's the news of God. Everyone wants peace. Everyone wants peace. What does the Bible say about having peace? What is the difference between what the world calls peace and what God calls peace? In the book of John, chapter 14, 27, it reads, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And this is not like the peace that the world gives. This is peace that Jesus Himself leaves us. So what is Jesus talking about when He says, "I leave you peace"? The Apostle Paul tells us that we have peace if we have repented and put our trust in God. But here is how he puts it. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you find that in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. You know, we were once enemies of God. Yes, we were once enemies of God, but through Jesus' atoning work at Calvary, the hostility between us and God is placed on Jesus, so it won't have to be placed on us, but only because Christ died for the ungodly. And we have been freed from the wrath of God because of Jesus. We have now received reconciliation. That's why it's called the good news. And now I have the good news of salvation. The Gospel of John chapter 20 verse 18 reads, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. After Jesus' death at Calvary, the disciples were likely thinking that they might be next, and perhaps this is why Jesus told them after his resurrection, peace be with you. This peace is peace of mind, because they may have finally understood that even death could not separate them from God. When the Roman church, which was undergoing severe persecution, the Apostle Paul wrote, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And even death couldn't separate a Christ follower, even that, from God. Every believer has access to this peace of mind if they would only realize. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, it says, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. Hear what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 57, verse 20. Hear what it says. The wicked have no rest, for there is no peace, says the Lord. For the wicked, none. And he also said the Christian can lay their head on their pillow at night, knowing that they are all at peace with God. But the unsaved don't have that peace of mind. They don't. I know that they don't. It says that the biblical concept of peace does not focus on the absence of trouble. Biblical peace is unreal. Please understand, the biblical peace is unreal to circumstances. It is a goodness of life that is not touched by what happens on the outside. You may be in the midst of great trials and still have biblical peace. The Apostle Paul said he could be content in any circumstance. And he demonstrated that he had peace even in the jail at Philippi, where he sang and remained confident that God was being gracious to him. Then when the opportunity arose, he communicated God's goodness to the Philippian jailer and brought him and his family to salvation. Likewise, James wrote, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." You can look it up in James chapter 1, verse 2. So here, where does a man find the kind of peace that is not just the absence of trouble? The kind of peace that cannot be affected by trouble, danger, or sorrow. Where? It is ironic that what is surely the most definitive discourse on peace in all of Scripture comes from the Lord Jesus on the night before he died in agony. He knew what he was facing, yet he still took time to comfort his disciples with the message of peace. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let it not be afraid." And that is again John 14:27. The peace that Jesus is speaking of enables believers to remain calm in the most wildly fearful circumstances. It enables them to hush a cry, still a riot, rejoice in pain and trial, and sing in the middle of suffering. This peace is never by circumstances, but instead affects and even overrules them. The New Testament speaks of two kinds of peace. The objective peace that has to do with your relationship to God, and the subjective peace that has to do with your experience in life. The natural man lacks peace with God. We all come into this world fighting against God because we are a part of the rebellion that started with Adam and Eve. In Romans chapter 5 verse 10 says, we were enemies of God. We fought against God. And everything we do militated against his principles. But, hear the good news. But when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we cease being enemies of God. We make a truce with him. We come over to his side, and the hostility is ended. Jesus Christ wrote the treaty with the blood of his cross. And that treaty, that bond, that covenant of peace declares the objective fact that we now are at peace with God. And that's what the Apostle Paul means in Ephesians 6:15 when he calls the good news of salvation the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel is that which makes a man who was at war with God to be at peace with him. And so this peace is objective. That is, it has nothing to do with how we feel or what we think. It is an accomplished fact. In the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We who trust Christ are redeemed and declared righteous by faith. Our sins are forgiven. Rebellion ceases. The war is over. And we have peace with God. And that was God's wonderful purpose in salvation. The book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 20 to 22 says that Christ made peace through the blood of his cross. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. That's powerful. Took away everything. No longer you have to die because of sin. You will die the natural death, but not because of sin. Christ already took it away. And so it is as if God were on one side. We were on the other side. Then Christ filled the gap, taking the hand of God and the hand of man and placing them together into the same grip. We have now been brought together through the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. They have now been reconciled. That is the heart of the gospel message. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, go to 19, but Jesus is not talking about objective peace in John 14:27. The peace he speaks of here is a subjective experiential peace. It is tranquility of the soul, a settled positive peace that affects the circumstances of life. It is peace that is aggressive rather than being victimized by events. It attacks them and gobbles them up. It is a supernatural, permanent, positive, no side effects, divine tranquilizer. This peace is the heart's calm after Calvary's storm. It is the firm conviction that he who spared not his own son will also, along with him, freely give us all things. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. And this is the peace that the Apostle Paul speaks about in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God is not based on circumstances like the world's peace, so it doesn't always make sense to the carnal mind. The Apostle Paul says it is a peace that surpasses comprehension. It doesn't seem reasonable at all whatsoever. How this could exist in the midst of the problems and troubles Christians go through. But this is divine. Supernatural peace. It cannot be figured out on a human level. It cannot. Never would it be able to figure out in a human level. This is the kind of peace that men really want. They want a peace that deals with the past. One where no strings of conscience dipped in the poison of past sins tear at them and torture them hour by hour. They want peace that governs the present with no unsatisfied desire gnawing at their hearts. They want a peace that holds promise for the future, where no foreboding fear of the unknown and dark tomorrow threatens them. And that is exactly the peace through which the guilt of the past is forgiven, by which the trials of the present are overcome, and in which our destiny in the future is secured eternally. But there is a source, the source of peace. And this subjects, you know, experiential peace, the peace of God, has the foundation in the objective. Factual peace, peace with God. The peace of God is not obtainable by those who are not at peace with him. That's a fact. In order for you to have peace, you will have to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God alone brings peace. In fact, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23, and again in Hebrews 13, 20, he is called the God of peace. Jesus Christ is also seen as the one who gives peace, my friend. And Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." Notice he says, "My peace." Here is the key to the supernaturalness of this peace. It is his own personal peace. It is the same deep, rich peace that stilled his heart in the midst of mockers, haters, murderers, traitors, and everything else he faced. He had a calm about him that was unnatural and non-human. In the midst of incomprehensible resistance and persecution, Jesus was calm and unfaltering. He was a rock. He was a rock. Those who knew him might have come to expect it, but you can imagine how it would have confounded his enemies and those who didn't know him to see someone that calm. When Jesus appeared before Pilate, he was so calm, so serene, so controlled, and so at peace that Pilate became greatly disturbed. He was furious that Jesus was standing between him, fearless and in a near frenzy. Pilate said, "Do you know who I am?" But Jesus didn't pay him no mind. Jesus didn't bother with him. He did not pay him any mind. Come on, ask, "Do you know who I am?" He forget who was the giver of peace and is the God, the giver of peace. And so, my friend, I started with Jesus speaking about peace, and I will conclude with these inspiring words by the Savior. The disciples were troubled because Jesus said that he was about to leave this world, and they feared because of the unknown. The only peace that satisfies, that which makes us have peace of mind and allows us to rest in him, is that which Jesus gives. It is not the peace that we ourselves try to work up in our minds. That peace is not permanent and is like a vapor. It can easily come, but as easily go. Jesus knew that they would go through tribulations, but he wanted them to take heart because he had overcome the world. You may have different or better Bibles or different ideas. It is our choice. It is your choice to make Jesus Christ your master and ask him to come into your heart and take the devil out of your heart. Let him go. Evict Satan out of your heart and let Christ come into your heart. I pray you make the right choice today if you haven't done so already. For no one is guaranteed what tomorrow may bring or what it holds. Today is your best day. Tomorrow promises to no one. And the peace of God I leave with you. Psalms 4 verse 8 says, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. In Jesus' name, I say, my friend, may God continue to bless you and watch over you and your families. May God continue to give you a good week at your job. May you take the peace of God in your heart. In Jesus' name, God bless you and bless my friends at BBS Radio. In Jesus' name, amen.
If this ministry has been a blessing and helped you through the Word of God, please donate. There's a donate button at the top of the show page. Any amount would be welcomed. Thank you in advance. This money will help keep the program Good News airing on BBS Radio. Remember, Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And Romans 10:9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved."